don't pick a ridiculously complicated dish. I mean, think about simplicity when you're thinking about kids. Don't pick something that has like multiple lengthy steps. I mean, if it sounds tedious to you, don't even think about it with a kid. Like, the most they're going to do is watch you for 5 minutes and then they'll go do something else. But if you want to engage them, the same thing that like applies to their toys applies to food. Make it bright, make it colorful, make it different textures. You know, I think Ella has a blast when we bake, especially because we don't just bake with, you know, mixes. I really try to bake a lot with from scratch.
Yeah. So she tried flour. It might not have been the first time.
Actually eat like just a handful of flour. And the scariest thing is she didn't look like she hated it.
Yeah, exactly.
You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thanks for stopping by and checking out another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. We are going to talk, I don't think today would be a messy episode. It has potential to be messy.
It could be very messy.
It could get messy, but maybe the tips we'll give you will prevent or minimize the messiness. We're talking
you
about
underestimate
cooking.
The messiness.
We're talking about cooking with kids, guys. Yes. And this doesn't apply to everyone, but we do have a lot of parents that listen to the show. Shout out to one in particular, Katie Carlton, who's still listening.
Hey, girl. Yep.
A long time listener.
Thank you.
So, but yeah, we want to kind of share our tips because we've developed it over the last 2 years now. Cooking with Ella. So, and it's something that's kind of pertinent and we believe helps instill a good type of eating habits and basically healthy habits as far regarding surrounding food.
Yeah, and we figured now was a really good time to have this conversation because even if you don't have kids yourself, chances are you're going to be exposed to kids because the holidays are upon us. And if you're like us in this household, you've already been celebrating the holidays a little bit since Halloween finished. So you're going to probably be around kids, and maybe you're one of those people that, like me previously to having a child, maybe you didn't really give kids a whole lot of your time, but if you have the ability to cook anything, if you have a passion for food, it's something you can share with kids. And that's why we really wanted to record this podcast now, because it is going to be relevant for probably more people this time of year.
That's right. But before we jump into all those suggestions and tips that we've learned over the last several years, we want to give our training recap to you guys. Before I jump into the training recap, this year, this is the time of year where I do a food drive for a charity called the Metropolitan Ministries. They are a great great organization that helps not only give food to the needy, but also Christmas gifts. They also run like a store where the people can come and do their own shopping. So they empower people to kind of do that. They don't always just give it away. They actually allow people to come and do shopping. They also are great with job placement and housing themselves. They actually have a couple of facilities here where people live. So it's
nice
great organization. Yes, great organization. And for the last, I try and remember, I think it's been, this is the fifth year that I've done the food drive. Yeah, and obviously it's local to Tampa, so I'll be collecting food from my clients. But you guys, listeners of the podcast, can actually donate to this organization by going to metromin.org, metromi.org.
They're national.
I believe so.
Yeah, I think they're a national organization, so you probably have local chapters?
Yes, I believe they are, but you guys go, because, I mean,
Metropolitan Ministries, yeah, they're all over the place. But
okay. Metromin.org, guys, there's a big donate now button right on the homepage. You can donate cash. You can actually go to their online store and purchase like a turkey for somebody to have for their families or even a Thanksgiving Thanksgiving dinner for two different families. So if you guys are interested, we love giving back, especially this time of year. It's part of, I would say, it's part of the mission statement for ETT and I think the ATF podcast and us in general. So yeah. Do that if you can, guys. All right, so training recaps. You go.
I broke my butt.
Wow.
My left butt side is hurting right now.
Left butt side.
I didn't know if cheeks one of us, could be yeah, graphic.
One of us is a yoga teacher, the other a personal trainer, and you go with left butt side. Wow.
My left cheek. Yeah. Fine.
Your glutes?
Yeah.
Your
well, glute it's my, yeah, it's particularly, it is my piriformis. Mm-hmm. And that's basically the muscle that connects your, it's, my brain just went blank.
Should be the, it's, I believe, the spine, lower back, into well, the outside like the SI, thigh.
It's like the SI down to, yeah, like your thigh.
Yep, to the outside.
Basically. So
the back side of your leg.
So your lower back, essentially, mm-hmm. to your lower leg, like your thigh leg. I can't speak today, apparently. I knocked three things over coming into this recording, so this should be great. But yes, I, my mom, who is a longtime acupuncturist, she's actually retired now, but she comes out of retirement to diagnose some of my issues sometimes. And this was one where I was like, man, like my butt just really hurts. And she like asked me some questions. She did a little massage and she's like, yeah, your piriformis is all out of whack right now. She's like, I'm surprised your SI joint isn't like really bad. But I think it's creeped up in there. So I took two balls today to find relief.
Tennis balls.
Tennis balls. And I rolled around on a tennis ball. It's not a terrible feeling, but it's not incredibly comfortable. I did that for probably a good like 15 minutes, maybe a little bit longer. And yeah, my bum is now very like very sensitive. Mm-hmm. It feels like I have a bruised bum. But basically what I was trying to do is there's only so much that I can do to stretch out the piriformis. And sometimes it also is the fascia, the connective tissue, that is getting really tightened. I believe that the reason this area is inflamed on me is from holding my growing toddler who is approaching. She's about 25, 26 pounds right now. She's getting closer to 30, and I feel like every ounce she gains is, it's just like a car. I mean, it's like lifting and holding a car. And I may have made some poor decisions last weekend, and I carried her for much too long, and I think that's when I flared it up, so... my training has reflected a little bit of the sort of broken butt, and I have not been as diligent, if that's the word.
Yep.
I did do most of my push-ups this week, maybe except for a couple days, and then there was one day where I just forgot that I was supposed to add an extra 10. So I did 10. I was like, woohoo, I'm done. And then I realized.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And
you, later.
You forgot to mention the November challenges beginning.
Yeah.
Or so, I normally do. So good segue because we're actually up to 30 now.
I know.
30 push-ups, guys.
We're going to do 15 in the morning, 15 in the evening. But I will say, and if anybody's done this challenge with us, let us know how you're doing because I feel like the push-ups is one of those things that I see really quick results in terms of my abilities, like week to week, where I started off, you know, completely modified push-ups. I did 10. I was like, oh, I'm good. I've done, you know, we're now up to 30, and I'm not overly intimidated by it. I mean, I think the first couple days will be a bit of a struggle, but by the end of the week, usually whatever we've added on, it's doable. And I do more non-modified push-ups now. So, I mean, it's very clear to see the progress, which is very inspiring.
Right. There you go. Yeah. So Working on the push-ups, working on not having added sugar during the week.
It's been doing tough.
Pretty good. I would say pretty well. Not 100%, but like we said, I think we talked about it last week. You don't have to be 100%. We want you to strive for 100%.
Yeah.
But if you don't get it, you got to forgive yourself and just get back at it the next day. So been doing pretty well with that. On top of my own kind of personal pre-Thanksgiving challenges. So I did get some good strength training in this week, some great sandbag hinges and deadlifts, which I love. But also went to a new massage therapist this week and kind of got my glutes and quads worked on. And
so you had somebody attempt to break your butt.
Yes, somebody attempted. Luckily, I think I've said on the podcast, I'm a baby when it comes to massages. I don't want a ton of pressure, but this person, very knowledgeable, very good about getting to the deep fascia and kind of hitting trigger points and then moving the muscles around while you hold one trigger point. So it was very interesting and I felt very, really good out of it. Not ridiculously sore afterwards and like poopy the next day.
You don't feel like you got hit by a truck.
Right. I felt decent.
Bad ones definitely do that.
Heck, yep. I felt good. And then, was able to work out. So, workout's been still going strong. So, trying to carry that into Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So, let's jump into the topic of the day. We kind of inspired this. I found an article that was talking about empowering kids through cooking, and I was like, hey, we do that. We're kind of working on that. So we wanted to give our rundown of what we do to kind of incorporate Ella into our meal planning, meal prepping, and execution.
And, some you might say, well, why are you talking to us about cooking with kids? You're a health fitness podcast. The studies have proven, we've talked about it a number of times on this podcast. If you need to go back, that we have plenty of episodes where we have talked about the impact of teaching kids about food, not just like, oh, this is a high fat item, avoid this, or like, don't eat sugar, but more about the quality, good foods, whole foods that they should be eating, and also limiting the processed foods that they are exposed to and have to consume. Because trust me, if they're sending your child to child to daycare, school, any kind of other child care besides your house, chances are they're getting plenty of processed foods, even when they mean well. So that's really why this ties to a core of what we believe, which is anything related to your health, your fitness, it's all going to start with proper nutrition. Mm-hmm. And it's going to come down to eating good quality foods, and specifically just to eat foods that you know what they are. And I think we advocate for sure cooking it yourself when you can, because that's the best way to know what you're putting in your body. And kids absorb all the things that you do and then some. So cooking with them and teaching them these skills is a true life lesson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's where this is coming from. We're not just scraping the bottom of the barrel here and looking for holiday-themed topics. This was just one that we both felt pretty strongly is something to talk about this time of year.
And honestly, it starts from the meal planning process, because, you do a painstaking job of kind of diversifying our weekly meals based on what Ella's getting for lunch at her school. It really affects what we have for lunch is dictated by Ella. So what we have for our meals is dictated what Ella has at school on a weekly basis. So that's kind of taking her basically daily nutrition into consideration. So that's
from
one
a
of
nutritional
our
standpoint. Yeah, we're not saying from like, she likes this particular food, so we're going to give her that particular food three times in a week. We try not to do that. We try to actually make sure that if she's having pasta one day, we're not giving her pasta for dinner. We're not doing heavy, refined carbs at all. We know that she's getting tons of chicken at school. So we basically never eat chicken at home because, like, we don't eat chicken because she eats it all the time at school. Which sad. I know I Nick is sad about. He like
well,
he,
certain things.
He will like throw out suggestions and be like, "Can we do this chicken dish?" And I'm like, "Sorry, she's got chicken 4 days this week," and it's like, "No, I'm not doing that."
And in addition to that, too, is we our meal or our weekly menu is dictated by what she likes, though, also, to a certain extent.
To a certain extent.
Right. So, like, I mean, I know there's one meal I suggest essentially every week, and you know, rightly so, and it's me being just selfish to a certain extent that you say that, you know, Ella doesn't like that, so...
It's basically planning for three people. We're not super, you know, I make dishes that maybe she's not super thrilled with, but maybe I'm hoping she's just going to try it again. Like I will try dishes over and over and over again on her. So like this week I'm making a chickpea curry. It's like a vegan dish. She used to love it when she was a baby. Stopped liking it, you know, for a while, and I'm still making it because I'm hoping she's gonna kind of come back and be like, "Oh, I love this stuff again." Yeah. But there are just some dishes that I know she's not down for. Kind of like I know there's some dishes that you just don't like,
right?
That I enjoy. So
yeah,
it's just playing to your crowd,
right?
Your audience. So
that in the planning phase, those are kind of our tips. You know, making sure, especially if you know...
Diversify.
Yeah. There you go. Thank you. And try to basically make it her what she has an affinity to, generally speaking.
Majority not all the time. Of meals. Yeah,
you obviously want to introduce new stuff, but you also want to make sure that whatever... That's why the diversify comes into play, because then you expose her to more things... Then hopefully it will broadens her menu so that you can eat more stuff too.
And my thing is, especially I know like they say like, you know, like kids get super picky and stuff. And I actually have a book on my nightstand right now that's all about like making sure that you don't fall in the trap of like just serving your child what they want.
Yep.
And we try to introduce one new meal. One newish meal every week. So it could be a new like ingredient. Mm-hmm. It could be an entirely new dish, just something new. So that you don't just also fall into the habit of, like there's like five or six recipes on rotation, because that's an easy trap
too. Yeah.
So that's just in terms of meal planning though.
Also, Ella makes frequent trips to the grocery store. I mean, it wasn't until, you know, you changed jobs that she was going with you almost every single week.
Yeah, honestly, it was the point where I couldn't actually contain her in the carriage anymore that spurred me into finding an alternate shopping time that would free me up to be alone. But yeah, she does, even still. Like, we still take... trips to the grocery store, even if it's just like a quick trip. She goes to the grocery store probably like several times a month.
Yeah.
And I mean, yeah, she's used to it.
I mean, yeah.
Trader Joe's was her family for a long time. The staff at our local TJ's.
And then at Sprouts, she would run amok in the bulk food sections with opening bins and stuff. So, you know, that's just exposure to that and that process. Not that she... probably comprehends what's happening, but she knows, hey, this is where you get food and this is where you get fruit, vegetables, and
The second she's containable again, like she's not a wild child, I absolutely look forward to picking that back up again on like Saturday mornings, because it's a great education. Just this is where you get most of your food. It doesn't come in a can. It doesn't come already, you know, cooked.
Right. Yep. So then you come home, and then we have execution stage, which sounds weird and somewhat morbid. But the cooking portion.
Actual cooking. So this is going to be for, you know, if you're visiting with family and friends or something, This is where you can kind of pick up the conversation, because this is the actual cooking with kids.
That's right. So I think what we do when we try to do is obviously put her basically in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
And mixing, she does do mixing sometimes too,
yes.
Literally. But yeah, putting her kind of next to us on the counter, in regard, you know, when we're preparing something, giving her, and that might sound like, I don't know if dangerous, risky maybe, because she, as you mentioned about taking her trips to the grocery store, she is a wild child, so
yeah.
She's at a point where she's very grabby now, and but wants to help.
Everything I have.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah,
hand you, in it.
Yeah, exactly. If you're trying to mix something or whisk up something, she wants to whisk it. You know, so but it's, I think that participation.
Whisking business. Mm. No, that didn't work.
Wow, we'll just edit that out in the end.
Mm.
So. But I think that participation is a huge thing, because it's you're teaching life skills to a certain extent.
Yeah, and just kind of giving them a seat at the table, I think, is the main takeaway there. You know, you want to make the cooking that you're doing visible so that they can at least see. Because regardless of what age they are, even when they're babies, if you can get them just to watch what you're doing, they're going to be interested by it. Because, oh, by the way, cooking is like sorcery to a child. I mean, it's magic. It's freaking magic to me, and I'm an adult.
Yeah.
So.
Exactly. And like I said, I think there are things to make it a little bit easier. I mean, giving them a snack, giving them a little piece of food while you do it, and things like that, and giving them a task, you know.
Yeah. So, I mean, when we get into the actual kind of like the tips on cooking with kids, first of all, don't pick a ridiculously complicated dish. I mean, think about simplicity when you're thinking about kids. Don't pick something that has like multiple lengthy steps. I mean, if it sounds tedious to you, don't even think about it with a kid. Like, the most they're going to do is watch you for 5 minutes and then they'll go do something else. But if you want to engage them, the same thing that like applies to their toys applies to food. Make it bright, make it colorful, make it different textures. You know, I think Ella has a blast when we bake, especially because we don't just bake with, you know, mixes. I really try to bake a lot with from scratch.
Yeah. So she tried flour. It might not have been the first time.
She did actually eat like just right
handful
fistful of flour. And the scariest thing is she didn't look like she hated it.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm pretty sure I saw her chewing on a piece of wood earlier today. So
she's like a bull shark.
Yeah.
Or a tiger shark, sorry. But anyways, yes. So as you mentioned, like something interested and I think one thing, I mean, just the top of my head, and I think one of the best recipes or things we cook with her that kind of keeps her engaged and she loves the food anyways is pancakes.
Yeah.
Like, it's interesting to see. You can actually help her, let her whisk a little bit, or give her a whisk and let her whisk on her own. Or then you get to introduce eggs, which are a whole nother kind of special anomaly, because they're liquid and solid and they turn into
they're
a solid.
Like jelly.
Yeah, exactly. So they're in a shell. It's so interesting.
You threw away the outside.
Exactly. It's so interesting to a kid. So I think that, like, finding those recipes, like you said, simple, but something you can incorporate them in with and then, you know, have them go all the way through and then they get to taste the finished product. I think that's a huge part of it too, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, you can't have a hungry child when you're cooking. There's like taste testing as you cook, and then there's having a ravenous child who will literally pull the raw dough or flour out of your hand. And they will just get hangry.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you'll have a hangry child, basically, if you try to cook with a hungry child. So, typically, if we're cooking or baking, we will usually give her some actual food.
Yeah.
And, or cook, like, right after, you know, another meal if we bake. But something that is really good is when they can kind of try things along the way. If you have just like little steps where you can actually have them taste the ingredient. Like, I actually was okay with her We baked some brownies yesterday. I was okay with her trying the disgusting baker's chocolate because she unwrapped every single bar and she just wanted to eat it. And I was like, you know what? Go ahead, try it. Yeah. And she, again, she tried it. She didn't look like she hated it, but she was just like, well, this was not what I was expecting. So, but after that, she was fine. Like, yeah. I just let her try her bit, and then that was it.
Yeah.
And she didn't go back for it after that, but I think, you know, she appreciated the fact she got to try it.
Yeah.
And I think any kid is fascinated with just ingredients. I remember when I worked at the botanical garden, so many kids that came there never had fresh vegetables from a garden. One of the coolest things for them was just eating food straight from the garden, mm-hmm. eating fresh food. I think Ella likes to eat food specifically from, like, as we're cooking it, because it's like, it's not done, it's not ready, it's not in its final form, and it's, she's just like mystified by the ingredients in the process. So she will frequently reach for things.
Yeah.
Off the pan. During the process. Yeah. Like, so if we're cooking something, like for making roast vegetables, she will eat like roast broccoli, cauliflower, squash, potatoes off of the baking sheet in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't involve her in the process and you just serve it up to her, she's just like, meh, she's not that excited about it. So like giving her that role and showing her, like including her.
It's true.
Makes her really a lot more interested in that food item.
You're absolutely right. I mean, we see it on a regular basis, and Shannon probably more so than me, but I mean, last week I was just boiling broccoli. It was just steamed broccoli, and I was holding her while I was doing it. Luckily, you know, I was able to, after they was steamed and I poured the hot water out, but she got to see it, and then she got me, I put a little seasoning on it, put a little butter on it, and then she just ate it right away, you know, like
said,
when it was cool enough. So it was like, I think her watching all that, instead of me just sitting it down at the table and show, you know, putting it in front of her,
mm-hmm.
it was made it more appetizing to her. So, I mean, those are important, because getting your kids to eat vegetables, I mean, you don't have to resort to things like, you know, salad frosting or whatever they were calling, you know, ranch dressing. Yeah. So, those are the tips that come to my mind right away. Do you have any other? I know you do more cooking with her than I do.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the big things for me, and this was a big learning curve, was regardless of the age, you do have to be cognizant of the safety issues for kids, because they are really grabby. They don't know consequences yet. So it's definitely important to take a look at your surroundings, clear off any knives. Like, we have a drying, like, mat, and sometimes we'll have knives drying there, and I'll sit her on the counter, and I now am in the practice of doing a quick once-over for any, like, knives or dangerous, like, graters or things that are in reachable distance before I set her on a counter or I let her pull up a stool, which is another great way to keep them involved. Because, if she can reach it, she's going to just go for it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something you do have to be aware of. We have a hard rule that she doesn't touch anything on the stove or the stove itself when we're cooking. So it doesn't matter if we're cooking something on the stove top or not. We just tell her it's hot and dangerous, and we don't let her touch it.
Yeah.
Because besides when we're stirring, which we're always holding her, if it's something on the oven, It's just too big of a safety hazard. So have some hard rules and be very aware, especially if you're not around kids normally. Like, try to start with like a clean area where there's no risks to them. That's going to be your biggest kind of safety guide and help. I think the other thing that is important, and this again, if you're not regularly cooking with kids, for them, they're not as concerned about the finished product. Like, they're really just in it for the experience. I mean, for them, the destination is not anything that they care about. They are there for the journey, 100%. And if you get really stressed out and you get really finicky, like, oh my gosh, you know, like, there's flour all over the floor. And I mean, we made pizza dough with her one day, and I sat her in the middle of a pile of flour, and I was like, have fun, kid, because I knew she was going to get it everywhere anyways. And it's one of like the funniest pictures I have on our fridge, and she's just covered in dough. But she was having a blast.
Yeah.
And just like that little experience, and it was about the process. She didn't know she was making dough for pizza.
Right.
Like, she didn't care. She was just having fun. And that at the heart is what kids have to understand about cooking and feel like cooking is fun. If you make it a chore and you make it meticulous and you make it, you know, just packed with rules and limitations, mm-hmm. they're not going to have fun, and they're going to see it as something they don't want to do.
Right.
Which would be a shame.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it starts now, building the healthy habits and really wanting them inspire that kind of desire to cook. Because, you know, you went over it before. That's kind of what we think is kind of some of the through lines with healthy eating, regardless of what type of diet you adhere to, is that I think cooking, especially, not only is it a way to know what you're putting in your body, but I also think it's a great way to develop discipline in regards to your health and nutrition. And that's one of the things that is really paramount when you're trying to quote-unquote eat healthy, is have discipline, be able to stick to your plan, you know, something that you've discovered works best for you, trying not to veer severely from that path. And I think cooking is one of the things that helps that, because it makes you more disciplined. It is essentially a exercise, you know, and it's like going to the gym every day. Cooking every day develops discipline.
Yeah, and kind of the flip side of the discipline side of cooking and everything is that cooking with, you know, a variety of foods, which we've talked about is very important from a nutritional standpoint, is not an easy thing. You have to be adventurous. You have to be willing to think outside the box a little bit every once in a while. Otherwise, I think we've all done it. You fall prey to the food rut. If you are just cooking the same things all the time, the crutch foods, yeah. And I mean, it's crutch foods don't necessarily even have to be bad, but it's the repetition that you have in your diet. I'm a really big believer that even healthy foods like chicken, you can develop food sensitivities if you're eating too much, like eggs and all these things. If you're eating too much of a good thing, it can still turn into harmful for you. So I'm a really big advocate for diversity, and I think teaching kids diversity in their food is really most successfully done through cooking, because they don't just experience the end product. They get to see, they get to touch, they get to taste, they get to smell. Yeah, like, I love having her smell things, like some of the, you know, the extracts we cook with, the herbs we cook with. Like, it's just, it's a whole sensory experience, and it's something that I just love experiencing with her. I will say that when I was a kid, my parents really let me experiment in the kitchen. Like, when you have an older kid, if they want to make their own dip, if they want to make, you know, a dish that's just based off of some of their favorite flavors, let them experiment. Because you might end up with like a little wizard of a chef and a flavor master in your house. You never know. And also, that comfort to make mistakes in food carries over to a lot of other places in life. So if you have older kids, some fun things to do with them. I know a lot of what we've talked about is for younger, but giving a kid a say in what they're cooking is also a great way to get them interested. So if they like a particular type of food, maybe you like a healthier version, offer to cook them like a different twist on a favorite and give them a say in something. I actually read an article, a woman lets her daughter do the family grocery list.
Huh.
And that way she can get an understanding of like what goes into that process, which I thought was a interesting.
Yeah.
So that's cool. Just some other kind of ways to involve your kids.
Well, yeah, I think those are kind of fine, and I know we're going to continue to add to the list, I should say, since Ella's only two. So as we develop these tactics and tips, guys, we're going to share it with you guys, so don't worry about that. Once again, I want to remind you guys that it is the holiday season, so we're doing the donations to Metropolitan Ministry, metromen.org. You can donate now. We're doing November challenges. Mm-hmm. We are on week 3, so that means 30 push-ups.
Yes.
And try your best not to have any added sugar during the week, guys.
Yes.
Save yourself for the for the weekends, I should say.
We do count Friday nights as a weekend, by the way. We're not evil.
And we're not counting Thanksgiving, right? Is that what we said?
No, we're not counting the holidays. No, yeah. Holiday off.
Yes. So, but we got that going on, and I think we got one more month of challenges left, right?
Yes, and one more month for 2019.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy. Yeah. And you guys, remember, if you guys send us your progress for these November challenges, you could be entered to win our recovery pack. So it could have your name written all over it, and you got a gift from us for the holidays.
I know.
Boom. You got anything else for them this week?
Nope, I'm going to go sit on an ice pack, I think.
Ooh, that's right. That sounds cool.
Sounds so cool. Where's my chili pad?
Oh. This has been another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast, and we'll check in next time.
Bye.
For all things Addicted to Fitness, you can check out our website, addictedtofitnesspodcast.com. You can also give us a follow on Twitter, @theATFpodcast. And like and follow the Addicted to Fitness podcast Facebook page. Last but not least, please give us a rating and review in the iTunes store. Thanks.